for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, September the 1st, 2016. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on stripping off grave clothes.
Well, welcome. We have a very good crowd. That's nice to see. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Carla B. Todd. Came here the very first time in 2001 and have been here ever since. And they couldn't run me off with a stick. But it's great to be here. I am thankful, Lake Hamilton, for allowing me to come and share what God has put in me. I can be thankful even for all the suffering that I've done in order that I can do the, well, let's see how it's said. Jesus said to Peter, when he denied, he said, "Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." So I can stand here and strengthen others in the things that I've suffered. Each of you, I'm sure, have suffered your own things that you can help others through. That's what it's all about. And so we're going to get started on that. I have reverted to... Okay, before we get started, I want to pray. I'm going to just take care of some things right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of fear from this place and from every person. And I loose the spirit of peace. I bind the Antichrist spirit. And I loose the spirit of God. I bind every religious spirit and forbid it to operate during this camp. I bind the spirit of offense that would want to rise up. I bind the lying spirit that would cause you to hear what's not being said, that would twist the words and cause you to hear something different. I bind that lying spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I loose the spirit of truth. All deception, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man over Hot Springs, Arkansas right now, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. I bind the strong man appointed to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I bind the strong man over every person that is coming to this camp, in Jesus' name. I bind the strong man from this camp meeting. I bind familiar spirits, every familiar spirit that came with us, I bind them now from operating in Jesus' name. And I bind every tormenting spirit. And I command you to go. You lose God's people right now and get out of here in the name of Jesus. Okay, now I would like to do a little bit of warfare. I want you all to stand, and we're all going to do some warfare. If you've never done warfare, you're going to do it tonight, because it's a very necessary part in the kingdom of God, because there is a war going on. So, okay, so if you'll just all repeat after me, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, that nothing by any means should harm us. I thank you that you have given us dominion. And we're going to exercise dominion means rule and reign. Rule and reign. So we're going to exercise that now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of the witch be bound.
Be bound.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every spirit of the warlock.
Every spirit of the warlock.
The wizard.
The wizard.
And the witch doctor.
And the witch doctor.
Be bound.
Be bound.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Christ.
We send out the warring angels.
We send out the warring angels.
To do battle.
To do battle.
In the heavenlies.
In the heavenlies.
Over Lake Hamilton.
Over Lake Hamilton.
Over each one of us.
Over each one of us.
That we might have an open heaven. To receive everything that God has for us tonight.
We bind and break
every word spoken curse that's been spoken against this camp. Anybody here
in
the work of God.
In Jesus' name.
And we thank you, Father.
And we receive right now.
We cause ourselves to be receivers.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can be seated. Okay, now we'd like to go over. Did everybody get one of these over there on the book table? It is everything you need to know about the camp that you are attending. I want you to turn it over where it says, please read. There are a couple of things that we need to emphasize that while you're here, you know, God is a God of order. Every place you go is going to have guidelines and rules. And these are just some that we we're a little stickler about this because it's important. These things are set in order for your protection, and so the camp can operate in the way that it was intended to operate. Now, we don't know all of you personally. Many of you may be more qualified than I am to stand up here. But the fact of the matter is that there have been people invited here and given authority while we are here. I have no authority here. But in this place, those that have been put in the position of speakers, staff, have been given authority while camp is going on. And we have an order. 6 o'clock in the morning, we meet here, and there are appointed people to pray. If you came hoping for personal prayer, it takes place right here at 6 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't take place between the morning meeting and lunch, or after lunch out on the parking lot. The order is prayer happens here. And there is an anointing here.
Amen.
You know, there are collective corporate anointing of people that have stood in this place for many, many years is still here. They might not be here, but you know that great cloud of witnesses that's talked about? That's who they are, that great cloud of witnesses. And those prayers, the power of those prayers, because the word is eternal. The people pass away, but the word doesn't. The prayers are in God's ears forever. Isn't that wonderful? I have a 93-year-old aunt who's been very dear to me. She prays for me and my family every single day. And she's in her last day. She's not going to be here probably another 6 months. But I was saddened by the fact that she would be gone. And I said, Lord, who is gonna pray for me like she has? You know, I know my mama prayed, but I mean, she's a prayer. And God told me one day that every prayer she's ever prayed is in His presence.
Thank you.
Our prayers are before His face and in His presence forever. So even though she's gone, the prayers that she has prayed are not. So that was comforting. And so another thing is we ask that you not have any private prayer meetings while you're here. Now, I've not experienced this, but Merrill's dad has told horror stories of people who have had their own private little prayer meetings and their own prophetic words going out here and there, and the disasters that have happened because of that. We hope that people come here for their own help and not to for their own agenda. Many people come with their own agendas. I have witnessed that. But anyway, so we ask that you not pray for other people while you're here. And if you are gifted prophetically and you just have a prophetic word for this person or that person, you are to bring that person, and it is to be judged by one of the people that have been appointed here. Now, some may not like that, but that's the order at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And we do it because we love you, and we want you to be protected. There are instructions for parents who have children. I don't see any little ones, little bitty ones, but if you'll note that. We do ask that you respect the curfew. What is the curfew? 10:30. Okay, so we please ask that by 10:30 you're quiet, the lights are out, and that you respect your neighbors in the room next to you. And, you know, sometimes people like to talk. If you do, whisper. So, and the last thing, and it's not on here, but I would like for you to treat this place like your home. You know, there are a lot of rooms, a lot of lights, and when you leave your room, turn out the lights. My daddy used to say, turn out the lights when you leave the room. So it would be a help to the finances here if when you leave your room, turn out your lights. And we thank you for that. Okay. Now I'm going to start with, this thing keeps wanting to jump off of my great day. It looks like I had my hand on the backspace and it's all gone. Okay. Well, wow. Surprise. Yes. Okay. One thing, one of the scriptures that I had down was where it says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so, Father, we just welcome you right now. We welcome you. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And we ask you to come and have your way in this meeting. Someone else who always shows up, I'm going to read in Genesis chapter 3. This was an eye-opener to me as I thought about it one day. You know how there was a war in heaven and Satan was cast out into the earth, was he not? And the earth, would you agree, is a great big dirt ball. Huge. But where in all the places that Satan could be on this great big dirt ball, he shows up in the Garden of Eden. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now I'm going to stop right there because we know that Satan is not a snake. Well, he's a serpent. But he's talking about Satan. Satan was in the serpent and he shows up in the Garden of Eden. You know why? Because he loves to be wherever God is doing work. Now I'm going to read from Job chapter 1. And I had all this on my notebook, so much for that. Job chapter 1, verse 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Isn't that what we've done today? We are sons of God. And here we are. It says, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, from where comest thou? In other words, where'd you come from? And he said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. See, he still wants to present himself as a son of God. So he shows up wherever God's people come together. In Job chapter 2, verse 1, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So you see, wherever God is doing work, wherever God's people come together, he shows up, which is one of the reasons I did that warfare prayer at the beginning. And now I'm going to say, Satan, you are not welcome here. You don't belong here. And we command you to get out in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not come here and try to cause problems here. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give it up. Let me just read it. Luke 10:19. I know the part that I want to say. He's given us power over all the power of the enemy. All. There's none above that. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we don't have to be afraid because we've been given more power than him. Ephesians 2:6 says that we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are above the powers and the principalities, the rulers of darkness. I want to just say this, just because it fits. In Jude, I want to make this point. People sometimes are afraid to address the enemy. And they say to me, you shouldn't do that. And this is the scripture they use from Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael is the greatest. He's the archangel. He's mighty. But guess what? He's an angel. And because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, we are above the angels. So I want to make that point because we should not be afraid to bind the enemy, to rebuke the enemy, because we have all power over him, because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you'll be afraid. But we have Jesus Christ on the inside of us. He wasn't afraid of the devil. He put him in his place every time. And we need to learn to do the same thing, because he has no business messing with us. He messed with me far too long until I learned who I am in Christ and the warfare, how to do the warfare. We better know how to do the warfare. And let me just make this clarification. Prayer is addressing God. Warfare is addressing the enemy. And you can't have this. Well, you can. I had only this for a long time until he came to my house. And then I had to learn this part. Warfare. Okay. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, I want us all to stand again, because we're going to say a prayer of confession before we start the rest of what we're going to do. So you just repeat after me. I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awe-inspiring God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them who love him, and observe his commandments.
Let thy ear now
be attentive,
and thine eyes open,
that thou mayest hear my prayer,
which I pray before thee now,
and confess
the sins
of
both I
and my father's house.
We have dealt
very corruptly against thee,
and have not kept thy commandments,
which thou commandest.
Remember, I beseech thee,
the word that thou commandest,
saying, if ye transgress,
I will scatter you abroad the people.
But if you turn unto me,
and keep my
commandments,
and do them,
though they were of you cast out
unto the uttermost part of the heavens,
yet will I gather them from there,
and will bring them unto the place
that I have chosen to set my name.
O Lord,
I beseech thee,
let now thine ear
be attentive to my prayer,
and prosper,
I pray thee,
thy servant this day,
and grant me mercy.
Amen.
How many of you are here, or let me say this, how many have never sat under a deliverance ministry?
Okay.
So, whenever I start ministry with somebody who's never been in deliverance, I like to start with the generationally inherited curses. Because we are all a product of who is before us. And so many things come upon us and bring curses upon us that we had nothing to do with. Okay? Now, I'm going to go to John chapter 11 just to give a little bit of an explanation. This is the story of Lazarus. Is everybody familiar with the story of Lazarus who was raised from the dead? Okay? Then I want to look at two scriptures in particular. John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44. Of course, we know that he gets to the grave. Lazarus has been there 4 days. And in verse 43, it says, And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a cloth. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. This is, to me, a perfect example of what deliverance is all about. Before we were born again, and you must be born again. But before we were born again, we were dead spiritually, just like Lazarus was in the grave dead. He has an encounter with Jesus, which we all need to have. And that is what brings that spirit alive. When we have that encounter with Jesus Christ, we are born of the Spirit. In the Word, it says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Okay, so when we get born of the Spirit, we have already been born of the water. We have inherited things from our mothers and dads. The worst thing we inherited was from Adam, sin and death because of sin. And so when we come alive, We come into this new life, but we have grave clothes. We're bound. Things bind us from being able to live the Christian life successfully. How do I know that? I was a Christian for 20 years, bound by anger, jealousy. Isn't it nice? I can't remember all of them. Critical, griping and complaining. You know, and we can be this way. That's why the world looks at Christians as hypocrites, because you go to church and you're all holy and everything, and then you leave church and you're throwing temper tantrums and you're cutting people off in traffic and you're going through life and life happens. But those things bind us and keep us from living the Christian life successfully. That's what's so wonderful about the ministry of deliverance, that is so neglected in the church. And that's why we have so much sickness and death and suicide and divorce and drug abuse and murder and adultery and all manner of things. You hear this statement all the time. And they were such a good Christian. Right? So the lack of the ministry of casting out evil spirits has been neglected. And that's why I love the ministry of casting out demons. It's made such a huge difference in my life, and I want other people to experience that same freedom. Am I all the way there? No way. But I'm getting there. And then as you learn that you have these things, you can have someone pray for you. You can cast them out yourself. But it says, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. And so it's good to have someone to confess your faults to and then have that person pray for you and cast those things out. We are called in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are referred to as the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are temples. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was three sections, the outer court, the inner court, and in the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God resided on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat. We are temples. We are three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. Our body is like the outer court. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotions is like the inner court. And then our spirit is the Holy of Holies, where when we get saved, Jesus comes and resides there, and he is sealed. Nothing can get in our spirit. In other words, you can't be possessed once Jesus is in your spirit. But can we have demons in our outer court? Yes. Jesus went into the temple where the money changers were. They were in the outer court. And Jesus cast them out. It used the word cast. He cast them out of there. And then the sick and the lame could come in and be healed. Well, there are spirits in our flesh that can keep us from being healed. You get those things out. Many times Jesus would cast the spirit out. The deaf and dumb boy. He said, "You foul, deaf, and dumb spirit. Cast it out of the boy." Then he could speak and hear. The woman that couldn't stand up for 18 years, she approached, and it said that she had a spirit of infirmity. He said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And then he laid hands on her, and she was made straight. See, there are spirits that are sicknesses. Now, the generationally inherited thing, even science and medical science, knows is true. That's why when you go to the doctor, they give you that piece of paper with all those little squares: diabetes, heart disease, mental illness, all those things are on there. And they want to know what's in your family, because what's in your family is probably going to be in you. That's why they do that. But spiritually, it is the same as well. People say, "Well, do you think all sicknesses are a demon?" Well, I only know one or two. Lazarus died, and Jesus didn't show up real quick on purpose so he could raise Lazarus from the dead. And then there was a blind man that the disciple said, who sinned, him or his people? See, because they understood generational curses. And Jesus said, neither, but that the glory of God might be made manifest. So, most of the time, though, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all, if they needed healing, what? They were sick or afflicted, right? Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So, did that sickness come from God? It's clear. Oppressed of the devil. Okay, so we're going to start by breaking some generationally inherited curses off of you. So if you'll just repeat this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the generationally inherited curses that have come down on me through my father's bloodline. All of his infirmities, I break them now. I bind the power of it. And I command it to get out of me in Jesus' name. All his weaknesses, I break the power of them. And command them to get out of me now. In Jesus' name. All his vices, his bad behaviors, I bind them and break their power and command them to get out of me now in the name of Jesus. No more like father, like son. In the good way, we'll take it, but not in the bad way. And I give leave to every familiar spirit that came down my father's bloodline that wants to guide me and direct me in ways contrary to the plans and purposes that God has for my life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break every generationally inherited curse that has come down on me through my mother's bloodline. All her infirmities, get out now in Jesus' name. All her vices, I break the power of them and command them to get out of me now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break generationally inherited spirit of Jezebel. I break the power, and I command every spirit of Jezebel that came down my mother's bloodline or my father's bloodline to leave me now in the name of Jesus. All generationally inherited Ahab spirit, I break your power, and I command you to get out of me now in the name of Jesus. And I give leave to every familiar spirit that has come down my mother's bloodline that wants to guide and direct me in ways contrary to the plans and purposes that God has for my life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. How many of you had a not so good relationship with your mother or your father? Okay, so first I think we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Okay, somebody remind me, if I forget, that we were going to break evil soul ties with our mother or father that we had bad relationships with. But we're going to go here first, Matthew chapter 6, please. We already heard the importance of this. So how many of you know when Jesus says, verily, verily, twice? It's very important. So we're going to hear this twice because it's very important. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, prayed that prayer for many, many years without realizing what I was actually saying. Because what you're really saying is, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me the way I forgive others. Ooh, serious. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You cannot not forgive. It's not a suggestion. It's really a commandment. And it is a condition of your even your salvation. Okay? Now I want you to turn to Matthew 18, starting at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. He had real debt. But for as much as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him. Now, this word worshipped is not like we did earlier, worshipping the Lord. It means he fell and put himself in a posture of submission in front of this man, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out. Now this is connected to those scriptures that we just read. Forgive as you were forgiven. If you forgive not, neither does your Father. Verse 28. But the same servant went out, he who was forgiven all his debt, and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besought me. Shouldst thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry or wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. You know, sometimes we may be having some problems that we want to blame on the demons, but could it be that you've been turned over to the tormentors for unforgiveness? That's just a reflection. Check yourself. Do that first, always. When problems come your way, check yourself. So if you came tonight holding a grudge against anybody, right now, this just came to me, so we're going to do it. Father, forgive me.
Father, forgive me.
For saying,
I will never forgive you.
Now I break that oath.
I break that oath.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You know what happens when you make an oath? The Bible says that let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and anything beyond that is evil. Evil. So when you make an oath even to yourself, what you do is you lock yourself, and even though you want to, you can't because you made that oath. That's why I said let's break that oath. So that pattern is broken, and now you're free to forgive. It's important. You have to forgive first, or being here is not going to help you one bit. And we want you to be free. We want you to get what you came for. But you must forgive. Another is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. That's a spiritual law. You know what gravity is? It's a physical law. If I drop this bottle of water, I promise it's not going up. Because gravity is going to pull it down. A spiritual law is just as real as gravity. And this is a spiritual law. Those other scriptures I read, that's a spiritual law. Nobody should spy. Judge not that ye be not judged. Now listen to this. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye measured it out, it will be measured to you. Again, I'm living proof that this is true. When I was young and dumb, I judged everything and everybody. That was another thing that I couldn't remember a while ago. Judgmental. Oh, my goodness. Self-righteous. You know the story where the woman is caught in adultery and they drag her. Never mind the man. Where was he? The law was both of them. But they drug her. And the law, literally, was that they were to be stoned to death. Thank goodness we're not under the law. Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. I was so self-righteous at one time, I told my husband, everybody would have already walked away ashamed and I'd still be looking for just the right rock. That's how self-righteous I was. Then I would have looked up and went, well, where'd everybody go? Self-righteousness is terrible. But I judged everything and everybody. There was a young woman, a divorced woman, had two teenage boys. Now, Mike and I were just married, and we didn't have any children. And I would watch the police come and go from that house. Those kids were always in trouble. Well, I sat in my kitchen, and I judged her and those kids. I knew exactly what they needed. I would this and I would that. You know how you spell pride? P-R-I-D-E. That was me. And I judged her. Well, guess what? I got two kids that have been in and out of jail.
See, what you judge, you're going to be judged. And I know we were. We were the talk of the town. Yeah, you know that lady that's always talking about Jesus? Look at her kids. Well, here's how you don't have that. Listen, repent now. I bet you've already thought of some things you've judged. Repent now. Lord, forgive me for judging other people. You know what happens when you judge other people? In the spirit realm, there's a purchase order. It's coming to your house, and it will be delivered. Tear it up now. Lord, forgive me. And as time goes on, and you're reminded of somebody, Lord, forgive me for judging them for that. I'm tearing up the purchase order. I don't want it. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know what I saw one day? I was reading this scripture. When you're looking at somebody else and you see that mote in the brother's eye, it's really a reflection of the one that's in your eye. So you're trying to pull it out of their eye. It's actually in your eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know, Jesus even told the disciples when he said, go out, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. If you haven't received it, you can't really give it. So after having said all of that about forgiveness, before we break the evil soul ties with our mothers and our fathers, we need to forgive. Forgive them for every way you think they failed you in every area. Think about it right now, your mom and your dad. Those things that you have held grudges and been bitter about. Think about them now. Now, when you forgive somebody, it's not saying that what they did was okay. Understand that. Forgiveness is for you, not for them. It's for you. So you can be free to live the life that Jesus wants you to have. If you held them in a prison, remember, you're turned over to the tormentors. So, Father,
Father,
I forgive
my mother
for all the ways that she didn't live up to my expectations. And
Father,
I forgive my daddy.
For all the ways
he did not live up to my expectations. That's not to say your mama wasn't a failure. She might have been. Maybe your daddy was a failure. He might have been. But you still have to forgive him. Now, all of those that had a bad relationship with their mothers, repeat after me. Father.
Father.
I break evil soul ties.
I break evil soul ties.
With my mother.
With my mother.
Okay, now, let me explain, if you've not ever sat under deliverance, what a soul tie is. You know, when David slew Goliath, King Saul was very impressed with this young man and took him home with him. He didn't even get to go back and live with his own father. He went home with Saul. And Jonathan was real impressed with David too. And so they became very close friends. It says that their souls were knit together. Knit together. It forms a tie. A close relationship. And Jonathan took off his
his robe and gave it to David. David gave his to Jonathan. They exchanged weapons. And all of that was like a covenant as we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, should be covenanted to one another. Your battles are my battles. Your hurts are my hurts. Your joys are my joys. You know, it's a soul tie. Well, when a man is in a boat, he throws out a line. How many of you have ever fished? The line is see-through. It's transparent. When it goes in the water, you can't see the string at all. Okay, so there's a lure on the end of the string. Now, the fish are swimming anywhere they want to swim. They can go anywhere in the water they want to go until they take the lure. And then they are tied together. The fisherman has authority over the fish. He can reel it in, let it out, jerk it this way, jerk it that way, pull it up. So that's what a soul tie does to you. When you have somebody, not just your mother or your daddy, could be a brother or a sister, could be a co-worker, doesn't matter who it is. If you are mad at them, if you can't stand them, they have a power over you because there's an evil soul tie there. So what we're going to do in the spirit realm, we're going to cut the soul tie. Now, if I looked at you and saw you all sectioned off like a puzzle, and this is especially true in sexual relationships. So when we go to do this soul tie, if you have had previous sexual partners before your husband or wife, then you still, you're soul tied to that person because the word says that two become one. Now, if you could see yourself as a puzzle with section pieces like a puzzle, every sexual relationship that you've had that was not your husband or your wife, when you part ways with that person, they take a piece of you and a piece of them stays in you. This is why we have so much mental confusion today. Because people are scattered all over the place. Mentally scattered, spiritually fragmented. Okay, so this is an important spiritual practice that you need to do anytime you have a bad relationship with anybody or a sexual relationship with anybody. You need to go back through your list. I'd make a list, every name. And we'll do some of that in the 6 o'clock prayer meeting because you have to do that in order to be whole. You got to get your pieces back. Send theirs back to them. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. If you had a bad relationship with your mama, I break the evil soul tie between me and my mama.
I break the evil soul tie between me and my mama.
And I send her soul and spirit back to her. Doesn't matter if she's dead. I send her soul and spirit back to her. I call my soul and spirit back to myself. Cleanse and sanctify by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, Father, I ask you to heal my mind and restore my soul. And I command every evil spirit that came into me through that evil soul tie, get out of me now. In the name of Jesus. And I give leave to every familiar spirit that attached itself to me through that relationship. You know, when you hang around somebody a long time, you start acting like them. That's a familiar spirit. Now, there are familiar spirits like psychics use and everything like that. But this familiar spirit that I'm talking about is there. Familiar spirit that attached itself to you. Okay. Father, now everybody who had a bad relationship with their fathers, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every evil soul, I break the soul tie between me and my dad. I send his soul and spirit back to him. I call my soul and spirit back to myself. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to heal my mind and restore my soul. And I command every evil spirit that came into me through that evil soul tie to get out of me now. And I give leave to every familiar spirit that attached itself to me through that relationship. In Jesus' name. Okay, I want to break the death sentence off of you. First of all, that came from Adam. Because sin and death came in. When we get saved, we understand that that sin issue is dealt with, right? But there's also a death issue that needs to be dealt with. That's why everything that deteriorates, everything that breaks down, everything that gets weak, everything that starts to die is because of that curse of death that came on us through Adam. So, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of death off of every one of you that came from Adam. I break it in the name of Jesus, and I speak life into you. The spirit of the life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Death is the ruler spirit over all infirmities, because after all, that's the purpose, is to kill you. So if you have degenerative diseases, if you have any disease that brings death, maybe not dropping dead death, but it keeps you from living life like you want to. So we break that in Jesus' name. There's also a death sentence that comes upon us if we have cursed our mother or father. Now, I thought I was pretty safe in that because about the worst thing I ever did was stick my tongue out. Of course, when I was out of their sight. So I didn't think that was cursing my mother or father. But you know what the word curse means? It means to be disrespectful to. Wow. To talk to with contempt. So I'm pretty sure we've all done that. If we haven't done it, we've fought it. So, forgive me, Father, for the times I cursed my mother and father, caused them grief, anger, loss. Forgive me. Now I break the death sentence that came upon me through cursing my mother and father. Yay. You know, these things we're doing, they don't seem like a big deal, but in the spirit realm, it's major. Okay, so repeat after me. Now we're going to take care of oaths and covenants and dedications that were made on your behalf when you were in the loins of your forefathers. You know, generations back, depending on what culture, and I don't really... You know, that would be a good study, is to study the cultures in our world and what their practices were. There were, like in witchcraft, in the occult, to different cultures, they will dedicate their seed and seed, seed, and seed, seed. And so... we're going to break those right now. There were dedications made. I've heard of people that, you know, a baby is born or maybe the mother's even pregnant and they do some kind of thing over the pregnant woman concerning the baby that's in the womb. That would be either a dedication or a ceremony. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every oath and covenant and dedication. I break every ceremony that was ever done on my behalf, even from lodges and things like the Masonic Lodge and other orders. They will make oaths concerning their children. and their family lines. So we break them now. That were made in our behalf when we were in the loins of our forefathers. And I renounce any oath I've ever taken, because we're not supposed to make an oath. And you know what? You form a soul tie. There are many jobs that people take, like policemen, firemen, doctors, nurses. There are many oaths that you stand and people raise their hand and make an oath. And then you become soul tied with that organization. I know there was a man here one time, the military. He was in the Navy. And there was, he was manifesting when he was being prayed for. And he was down on all fours, growling and snarling and barking like a rabid dog. And I just found the rabid dog spirit. Now, after he was prayed for, he told me, he said, "You know what? I knew where that came from the minute you said rabid dog." He said, "We had an initiation in the Navy, and they were role-playing." He said, "I had a collar around my neck with a chain on a leash with another guy, and we were supposed to act like rabid dogs."
Wow.
And through the role playing, the spirit of the rabid dog came into that man. It's just amazing what the devil will take advantage of when you don't know. So if you've ever taken an oath, break it. If you ever role-played some animal, you know, animal spirits are manifesting in churches all over the place. And people think it's the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand that Christians can have demons, then you're not going to deal with the demon. And if you don't factor in the enemy, then everything is God. That's why we have to know our enemy and how he works. Okay, how many of you in here are a firstborn? Okay. I'm going to see if they happen to show up just because I quit looking at it. Nope. That is really weird. Okay, head the scripture down. God said, "Every firstborn that openeth the womb is mine." That's what God said. What's that? Who do you think the devil wants? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that becomes like a curse. So what God blesses, Satan wants to curse. So right now, raise your hands again, you firstborn. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the curse of the firstborn off of each of these who are the firstborn in their families. I break that curse now, and I loose upon them the blessings of God in Jesus' name. So if y'all have children, break that off your firstborn child. You don't have to do it to their face. Well, I always tell people, when you're dealing with a demon with a child, go to their bedroom door when they're asleep. That was the first experience with deliverance I ever had. My little girl had I was depressed when I carried her. And I heard a radio show. This was before I knew anything about demons or deliverance. But my little girl was melancholy. And she cried. She wouldn't even know why she was crying. Well, that's what I did when I was depressed. I cried. I didn't even know why I was crying. I just cried and I couldn't stop crying. Because it's a spirit. And so she would cry every day on the way to school. And it was breaking my heart. I was crying out to God, "Lord, what is this? You know, I thought maybe something had happened to her." And I heard a radio show one day after I dropped them off, and the two people were talking about how spirits can be transferred from a mother to a child when they're in the womb. And so the guy said, "Well, what should one do?" For instance, if a mother was depressed, say, when she was carrying her baby, I'm like, "Me?" Then you go to the bedroom door. You don't have to talk very loud. Demons have supernatural hearing. And you just speak to that demon, you're not even talking to the child, you spirit that came into my baby when I was pregnant, you spirit of depression, oppression, sadness, weeping, hopelessness, despair, everything that I knew I felt when I was carrying her, I commanded it to get out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. I was healed through an encounter with Jesus, but she hadn't been. So I prayed for her, and do you know she never cried on the way to school again? I thought, wow, Lord, there is something to this. That is powerful. And it was nothing just to stand at the door and say, you spirit that came into my child, I bind you and I command you to get out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the power. The name of Jesus. Well, I think that's as far as we are going to go tonight. Let me see what this is. I wrote it down. I'm sure I had it on my notebook, but James, that was James 5:12, if you want to jot that down in your notes. It said, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. You know, you hear people say all the time, I swear to God, I swear to God. Neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. I think somewhere else it says everything beyond that is evil. Okay, well, I think that's as far as we're going to go tonight. It's almost 9 o'clock. Well, I'm just going to hit some, since I lost my list, I'm going to depend on my memory here. But let me just start with, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of unforgiveness. I command it to go in Jesus' name. All unforgiveness, go in the name of Jesus. Holding grudges, running away from them, hiding from them. If you see them in the grocery store, you turn around and go the other way. All those spirits to avoid somebody that you don't like, I bind those spirits and command them to go in Jesus' name. All judgmental spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Critical eye, looking at people and criticizing. All critical spirits, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All self-righteousness, get out in the name of Jesus. Self-righteousness and pride, you go in the name of Jesus. All pride and self-righteousness, we bind you and command you to get out in Jesus' name. All Jezebel spirits, get out. Controlling spirits, jealousy, insecurity, anger, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. All controlling spirits, all got to be right. All those spirits that just have to be right. All the inability to say I'm sorry. Inability to say I'm wrong. Get out in the name of Jesus. Got to have the last word. All pouting spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Temper tantrums, crying jags, finger pointing. In the name of Jesus, you go. All argumentative spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. All spirits of Ahab, arrested development, never want to grow up, the Peter Pan spirit, sport hero spirits, and escapism, playing video games and watching pornography and whatever else takes you away from what you ought to be doing. In Jesus' name, I command all those spirits to get out and go. All spirits of abdication, abdicating your responsibilities and your authority, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Bowing down to Jezebel, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name and command it to go. The spirit of the coward, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, non-confrontational. I bind the spirit of confrontation in Jezebel, but the non-confrontation spirit in Ahab, you go in the name of Jesus. The yes man, I bind that spirit of being the yes man in Jesus' name and command you to go. All spirits of cursing mother and father, talking about mom and dad behind their back, ridiculing, criticizing, in Jesus' name, get out. All critical tongues, all complaining and whining, go in the name of Jesus. Making an oath, needing to be a part of an organization, I bind that spirit that can't has to be a part of something to feel like you're anything in Jesus' name. I come against all ancestral worship of mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa or Uncle Bill or anybody in your ancestral line. In the name of Jesus, you go. All idolatry, get out. Idolatry, you go. You know, in reality, we all are guilty of idolatry. Because in the Ten Commandments, it says that you are to have no other gods before me, that he will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children of the third to the fourth generation of them that hate me. And everybody goes, oh, thank goodness, I've never hated God. But that word has to do with loyalty. Anyone who's ever been disloyal to God is guilty. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of idolatry, rebellion, self-worship, being your own God. Go in Jesus' name. All idolatry spirits, get out in the name of Jesus. Rebellion. Rebellion against authority. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. You get out. Spirits of infirmity. I speak to spirits of infirmity right now. You know what your infirmities are. Name them. Get out. Diabetes, get out. Blood diseases, get out. Bone diseases, get out. Diseases of the organs, go in the name of Jesus. All mental illness, get out in the name of Jesus. Bipolar, I break your power and command you to go. Get out in Jesus' name. All arrested development, I bind you. Arrested development from smoking dope and drinking and getting drunk and pornography and whatever kept you from growing up the way you were supposed to grow up. I bind that arrested development and command it to go in Jesus' name. All learning disabilities, go. All diseases that cause you not to be able to see, all the diseases of the lungs that cause you not to be able to breathe, all afflictions in your feet, corns, bunions, ingrown toenails, those are all generationally inherited things. And you can start speaking to those things. I break your power and command you to get off my body. I apply the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus to that toe, and I command you to get well in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. All anger, I speak to the spirit of anger. Anger is not part of your personality. It is an evil spirit. And I bind you anger, rage, murderous rage, temper tantrums, hostility, aggression. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out. That's one of those grave clothes. I loose you from that in the name of Jesus. All fear spirits, go. The spirit of fear. It says, for God has not given you the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit, an evil spirit. And I bind you and break your power and command you to get out of God's people right now in Jesus' name. Fear of the dark, fear of going to sleep, fear of water, phobias, all phobias, claustrophobia, phobia of bees and rats and whatever your fear is, I break it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind all tormenting spirits. All spirits of torment that just stand, I bind the lying spirit that tells you lies and you believe the lie. I break that lying spirit off of you in Jesus' name and command it to go. I loose the spirit of truth upon you in Jesus' name. You go. Unclean spirits, I bind you and break your power. Generationally inherited unclean spirits. The spirit of the pervert, I bind you and break your power. The spirit of the murderer, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All unclean spirits, get out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of inferiority, I bind you and break your power. Insecurity, go in the name of Jesus. All unworthy spirits, let me tell you something. We all were unworthy. The blood of Jesus Christ, it says in Romans, has made you worthy. His shed blood has made you worthy. None of us were worthy. But if you have him, you're worthy. His blood made you worthy. It says that by one man, all sin came on all. We all became sinners because of what he did. But by one man, Jesus Christ, we were made righteous. The word says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you that you shed every drop of your blood that we might be made whole. Lord, I pray that it would become a reality to every person here that your shed blood has made it possible for them to walk away from this camp with no infirmity whatsoever. No infirmity. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just apply to them right now the grace that was sufficient. You know, Paul had a thorn. He asked three times for God to take it. And Jesus answered Paul and said, "My grace is sufficient." His blood doesn't leave anything almost whole. His blood was shed on the cross. And it says that by his stripes, ye are healed. Receive it. Jesus was in a meeting and it said, as he taught, the power was present to heal them. That's what's been going on here tonight. His power was present to heal you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Appropriate the healing that is in his blood. Appropriate it to your body. Just like if you had a rash and you put ointment on it, hey, the blood of Jesus, his grace is sufficient. I apply the grace that is sufficient to every person here tonight. The grace that is sufficient to take care of every need you will ever have. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. And Father, I bind right now every tormenting spirit that would torment the people tonight in their sleep. I speak to sleeping disorders right now. Sleep apnea, nightmares, insomnia. I break your power by the blood of Jesus Christ and by his name. I break it off of you now in Jesus' name. And here's a little prayer. If you have trouble sleeping, I bind every spirit that would come to torment me in my sleep. See, this is the binding and the loosening. That's a tool he's given us. I bind every spirit that would come to torment me in my sleep. Even my dreams. Can't even come in my dreams. And I stand the angels of God around me shoulder to shoulder that no evil penetrate. I bless you. I bind every spirit of backlash and retaliation. I bind the lying spirit that wants to say to you, nothing happened in there. What's the matter with you? I bind that lying spirit in Jesus' name. You can have what you will receive. Receive it by faith. Right now, in Jesus' name. Did he not say, it is finished? So, Lord, I just appropriate, I apply the finished work that you accomplished on the cross to every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good night. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. Thank you.